येतिह वै दशवोक्तिदा गरदा ग्रामान सार्थान वा विलुम्पन्ति राजानो राजभटा वा तांश्चापि हि परित्य जमदूता वज्रदंष्ट्रा शाना सप्तशतानि विंशतिश्च सर्वसंखादन्ति. In this world, some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Saramayadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. So, in this chapter of the fifth canto, the hellish planets have been described. This southeastern corner of the universe, this particular planet or these planets are situated. There are different regions like this. So this particular one is known as Saramayadana. Saramaya means a dog. Saramaya means dog. And there, the Saramayas or the dogs cause the punishment to the people. They eat those sinful people. They have been described here, those who set fire to people's houses, they plunder them, and they even give them poison. And also, Rajan and Rajabhata, the kingly people, royal people, or the government people, they also cause distress to living entities by imposing taxes. Imposing tax by the government is authorized by the scriptures, but when it is done in an inappropriate way, with an inappropriate objective of sense gratification, then those individuals become subject to punishment and suffering. Sometimes people may think, oh, these are just some concocted imaginary concepts. But actually, we have to understand that whatever has been mentioned in the scriptures is the truth and nothing but the truth. We may not understand. Sometimes people ask or become critical about the Vedic scriptures, how things like that can be possible. Like people question, how can an elephant's head can be put into somebody's body whose head has been severed and he can acquire the elephant head? And how can King Sagara have 64,000 children? How is it possible? Now we have to consider that everything cannot be measured, or everything cannot be conceived by our limited intelligence. In this respect, Prabhupada gives one example that if you take an ant, if an ant is told about the human civilization, the ability of human beings, how will the ant feel? Ant will immediately respond, how is it possible? How is it possible? Because the tendency in the material nature is to judge everything from one's own limited sense perception and limited intelligence. That is another meaning of the word maya. Miyote anaya. Right? Trying to measure everything with our limited senses. This material nature is the world of our senses. It is perceivable only through our senses. Therefore, we have a tendency to try to measure everything within our sense perception. And these senses extend further to the mind, the internal sense. And the beyond the mind is intelligence, the ability to reason, ability to correlate. The mind actually collects informations and intelligence correlates with those informations. That is what our material faculties are. Senses, mind, intelligence. And we try to measure everything with that, especially the human beings. Because they have a little developed intelligence, they think that with that intelligence they can figure out everything. Little do they realize that intelligence is actually a special favor offered to them, special mercy bestowed upon them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that they can understand the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the prerogative of the human faculty. The human beings are the only creatures, those who have the ability to extend their intelligence to an unlimited extent. In this respect, the human ability is even greater than the demigods. They can, only in the human form of life, one can expand his consciousness to such an extent that he can conceive of the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they are limited, living entities are extremely limited. His faculties are extremely limited, but the human beings have the ability to expand his consciousness to such an extent that he can even understand or conceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a limited living entity, it is impossible to measure or understand the Supreme Lord, who is absolute. How can minute understand the absolute? It's impossible. But the human beings have that ability. And that is why the human life has been considered to be so special. So human beings have a very, very special prerogative and a very special advantage, very special benefit. But human beings have a tendency to apply that facility in a wrong way. And that wrong way is, instead of being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the human beings, especially in a misdirected civilization like this civilization of today, have a tendency to even criticize and question the ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are intelligent, what they will do? They'll simply accept every single word of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic scriptures as the truth and nothing but the truth. Even though it may appear to be contradictory, it happens. Even the scriptures, in scriptures there are contradictions. And people may think, oh see, I told you it's just some mental concoctions. Some product of some fertile brain. Breast, product of some individual's imagination. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, everything in the scripture is the truth and nothing but the truth. And if there is contradiction, then we have to understand it is kalpabhed. That in different kalpas, things happened in a little different way. How does the time move? Time moves in cycles. Just as after Every hour, another hour comes, just as after every day, another day comes, just as after every week, another week, month, year comes, years come. Similarly, on a broader concept, the time moves in four yugas, Satta, Treta, Yap, Dwapar, and Kali. And things kind of happen in different yugas. The Lord appears, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears and performs his pastimes along with his associates. And in some past, it's not that every pastimes, although similar in a broader sense, but the details may differ. So in different yugas, there may be some slight differences in the activities of the Lord. Therefore, in different scriptures, there may be some apparent contradictions, but we have to understand that these are due to kalpa bhed, due to different kalpas. Pastimes, same pastimes in different kalpas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it further, like our days are more or less the same every day. Like we get up in the morning, brush our teeth, take our bath, attend Mangalarati, or people take their breakfast, go to office. So routine practically goes on the same way, but different days are completely different. No 2 days are absolutely alike. Similarly, we have to understand in a broader perspective that the activities that are happening in this planet or in the universe may have some apparent although apparently quite similar, but every day is different, and that is what causes the excitement. The variety is the cause of excitement. Therefore, Krishna's activities must have variety, not only varieties, but they have supreme variety. Therefore, Krishna's activities are so wonderful. Krishna goes to the forest to tend the cows with his cowherd boyfriend. It may seem like, every day Krishna is going to the forest to tend the cows. And to us it may appear that every day must be the same. Every day must be similar. But no. Every day, not only every day, every moment is different. Every moment is full of excitement. Different days, Krishna performed different pastimes with his friends. And on top of that, Krishna's will acts in such a wonderful way that brings in even more excitement and variety. Sometimes Krishna, while tending the cows in the forest, in the pasturing ground of Vrindavan, he thinks, it will be nice to have a rasa dance now. And just as Krishna thinks, Jogamaya immediately creates the situation. All of a sudden, the midday becomes midnight. The full moon appears in the sky. Krishna plays the flute, and the gopis just appear there. So that is the spiritual sky. The time there is relative to Krishna's will. And Jogamaya is making all these wonderful arrangements. And that is why spiritual sky is always so exciting, always so wonderful. Now, the material nature, let us consider, to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. So it's a scientific reaction. It's a scientific truth. Like, can anybody deny that point? Deny that concept? Deny that law of nature? To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, if it happens on the gross material concept, sphere, then why shouldn't it also happen in the subtle material sphere? When we act, why shouldn't there be a reaction to that? And the reaction is very, very rigidly established. The concept of reaction, as you sow, so shall you reap. As you act, naturally, you will be liable to the reaction. Good action will generate enjoyment, and bad action will generate suffering. It may not be equal and opposite in that sense, but then also it's equal and opposite. More you try to enjoy, how it is equal and opposite? The more you try to enjoy, the more you will suffer. Isn't it equal and opposite? The more you try to enjoy, the more you suffer. And the more you deny yourself of that enjoyment, which is called austerity, the more you deny yourself of physical and mental pleasure, the greater will be the extent of your enjoyment. So that's the law of nature. And there are higher authorities. It's not that that we are the ultimate authority, and our ability is of the supreme category. No. There are higher beings. There are demigods with inconceivable potency. The power of the demigods in that respect, Vande Prabhupada was just, I recall one incident with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was discussing with some of his disciples about the result of the nuclear holocaust. And the devotees were telling that how this nuclear war will destroy everything. Will destroy everything. And not only where the bombs will be, bombs will explode, those areas will be affected, but the radiation will travel and they'll destroy everything. Every living entity will be destroyed. But Prabhupada was insistent, Prabhupada was very emphatically pointing out, no, Krishna's creation cannot be destroyed so easily. And the devotees just kept on. Some of the devotees were discussing with Srila Prabhupada. They kept on insisting, no, Srila Prabhupada, this is how it will happen and so forth. And then finally Prabhupada told them that you do not know the ability of the demigods. They can clean the atmosphere in no time. So the whole creation may be affected by the nuclear holocaust. And of course, yes, the radiation will travel and a good number of creation of this material nature or this planet will be affected very, very severely. But the demigods can clean out the atmosphere in no time. They're talking about how the atmosphere will become totally not conducive to human or any life on the planet. But the demigods can clean out that atmosphere in no time. This is the ability of the demigods. So we may create a mess, but the demigods can rectify the situation in no time. Now the question is, should we believe the demigods are there? Well, how the sun is coming up, how the moon is coming up, how the weather is changing, how the rain is falling. Is it happening by accident, or there is some control behind all those activities? So if there is a control, then who are controlling? It is through the agency of demigods that Krishna is controlling everything. He may not be, Krishna is not directly involved in the affairs of the material nature, but the demigods are there, Krishna's agents, who are actually taking care of every single aspect of this creation. Now, if the demigods are there, then what's the difficulty in believing that there is one demigod who is figuring out, who is deciding what kind of action will generate what kind of reaction? And that is Jamaraj. Jamaraj is taking note of everybody's every human being's every single action. Jamraj has a secretary, his name is Chitragupta. And Chitragupta is writing everybody's actions. So when somebody dies, he is taken to Jamraj, and then Chitragupta reads out what he has done, just like a clerk to a court, to a judge reads out the offenses the person, the criminal has convicted, committed, and accordingly the judge gives him the sentence. So if there is a judge in the human society, how can there not be a judge in the plane of the demigods, on a higher plane, who is actually controlling the activities or who is witnessing and deciding the results of different individuals' actions? Now the question may arise that how is it possible for one person to write all that? Everybody's activity, every single activity. Now we are seeing that in the human society we have introduced these computers, and the computers have every single detail of everybody, at least in the state. In America, everybody's activities are noted down. And now they're doing it in India also. And I'm sure in England also they're doing it. So if computers can keep the records of human beings' activities on the human plane, then why can't, on the higher plane of the demigods, why can't they have some arrangements to have the records of everybody's activities? Therefore, to be on the safe side, it's better to believe everything. That's been mentioned in the scriptures, and act accordingly. I mean, let's become aware of these consequences of our actions. If I burn somebody's house, and if that is going to be the result, then we'll think twice before burning somebody's house. If this is the result of giving poison to somebody, then let's think twice before giving somebody poison. And while imposing unnecessary taxes, the government officials should be very, very cautious and careful. Not only government officials, even in ISKCON we should be careful about it, that we be careful about imposing taxes. And actually the taxes, there is no harm in collecting taxes, but the consideration is that it should be properly utilized. A king is given that right to collect taxes from his citizens, especially the mercantile community. It is actually pointed out, mercantile community. But now what is happening in democracy? Since it is for the people, by the people, and of the people, so everybody should be taxed. That's the advantage of being in a democratic society. So since it's for the people and by the people, so everybody, the tax also should be given by everybody. Whereas in the Vedic society, only the mercantile community was taxed. Nobody else. Brahmanas were not taxed. Kshatriya would not pay tax otherwise, but he would submit himself to a higher authority. A more powerful king will prevail over the subordinate kings. And the subordinate kings will be submissive to them and pay tax or pay gift. But the main thing is, when that big king would go to a war, then small kings also have to join him in that battle. That was the consideration of subordination. But the merchants, the mercantile community, they would actually make money. They would deal with wealth. They would go collect different commodities that the society needs, and they would cater to the demands of the society. That was the responsibility of a Vaishya, to cater to the demands of the society. Not like it is being done today. They're creating an artificial demand and then sell them. And manufacture the products, create an artificial demand and sell those products. Things that they don't need, that people don't need, they are being sold. And people through the media are made through very massive advertising campaign. They're made to believe that unless and until you have these commodities, your life is meaningless. You have to have them. You have a Toshiba computer. Toshiba is not good enough. You have to have a Mac. you have Mac 2006 model. No, you have to have 2008 model. Like in this way, the artificial demand is being created and people are just exploited in a very, very unfortunate way. And the mercantile community this way is making profit. And not only they're making profit, they're making incredible amount of profit. The amount of money that is being squandered in this world today is unbelievable. And the government is taxing them. Government is taxing. And then ultimately what is happening to the tax? The tax is being squandered by them. There, the government officials, those who have access to that government funds, that has been collected in the form of various kinds of taxes, they are just pocketing that money. And the coffer of the Swiss banks are becoming larger and larger. Because that money is just being accumulated either in Swiss bank or in the Channel Islands. But the government is authorized to collect tax. The kings are authorized to collect tax. Why? Because the mercantile community will cater to the demands of the society and make profit, and they would give a part of their profit to the king, and the king would give them the protection. That is the responsibility of a Kshatriya king. And that is how they would work in perfect harmony, the Vaishya community and the royal order. The Vaishya community and the Kshatriya community. The Vaishyas would generate the wealth and the Kshatriyas would give them protection. And in exchange they would collect the tax. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. And what the king would do with this money? The king would maintain the society, provide all the facilities to the citizens, and make sure that everybody becomes Krishna conscious. That was the responsibility of a king. The king was not the lord and master of his kingdom. The king was the caretaker of Krishna's kingdom. That is the Vedic understanding. The king would collect the tax not for his own personal benefit, but as a representative of Krishna. He would collect and use the money for the sake of promoting Krishna consciousness. And that is the perfect human society. But in Kali Yuga, that order will become, this order will become dysfunctional. In Kali Yuga, everything will turn upside down. Instead of Dharma, Kali Yuga, in Kali Yuga, Adharma will be established. The kings stopped, with the advent of Kali Yuga, when the kings stopped to recognize the kingdom to be Krishna's kingdom, rather they started to consider that these kingdoms are their personal property, their own inheritance or their possession. that they have acquired with their might, with their strength, then the whole thing started to deteriorate. The kings, when they start to think that their kingdom is their own property, then they become tyrannical. They become tyrants. Because they want to exploit, they want to extract everything from the citizen for their own enjoyment. And as a result of this tyrannical attitude, despotism crept in. The kings became despots. And the result was revolution. French Revolution was the cause of that. Because the kings were so brutal, so selfish and so tyrannical, that they did not care about their citizens. The king in the Vedic society, in the Vedic culture, the king is supposed to consider that every single citizen is his own son. The Sanskrit word praja means son. In the Vedic society, the king used to treat every single citizen as his own children. And not only the human beings, even the animals were treated with that kind of care and concern. That is the Vedic society. But what happened when the Vedic culture was lost? Gradually, the kings and the royal people, royal family members started to exploit their citizens in such a way that the citizens came to a point then when they actually revolted against the king. And one of the classic example is the French Revolution. The French Revolution, at that time when people were demanding, they were demonstrating in front of Versailles. Versailles is the capital? Versailles. And then the queen of Louis XIV, Marie Antoinette, she asked, why are they screaming, why are they shouting, all these people? And she was reported that they don't have bread to eat. Then she said, then why don't they eat cakes? If they don't have bread to eat, why don't they have eat cakes? So this is how unreal a world they were living in. And the result was a revolution. The mass stood up against the royal order and completely wiped them out. The guillotine, put them on the guillotine, slaughter their heads. And if anybody had any connection with the royalty, he was killed. And then came the Russian Revolution. And this is how democracy crept in. Like, yes, in such a situation, democracy is a solution probably, because it's better than that monarchy. But then again, democracy is not the ultimate solution. The actual perfect solution to these social disorder is the Vedic culture, Varnashram. That's why Prabhupada was so emphatic that the Varnashram has to be established in this world. And Prabhupada mentioned that 50% of the work that he hasn't been able to do is to establish Varnashram. He has done 50% by establishing Krishna consciousness. Now the other 50% is to establish Varnashram. Thus, human society will be divided according to the individual's propensities, an ability, and everyone should perform, everyone should act for the sake of Krishna, recognizing that everything belongs to Krishna. That is the ultimate solution to today's problems. And if it is established, then everybody will become happy in that society. So, the Vedic society is giving us a perfect understanding. Democracy, although it is better than the worst, and that is actually what the democracy is. I think Winston Churchill made a comment that he knows that democracy doesn't work, but that's the best they have. It doesn't work, but this is the best we have. And how democracy doesn't work? Because mass is ignorant. So how can the ignorant mass elect a wise leader? How can the ignorant mass elect a suitable leader for themselves? And Bhagavatam actually gives a very classic description of that. That in the society of dogs and hogs and camels and asses, what kind of candidate they'll elect for their leader? Shabir varaha ashtra kharoi shangstuto purusha pashu. In the dogs and hogs and in the society of dogs and hogs and camels and asses, if they're given the right to elect, then who they will elect? They'll elect a pig or a monkey at the most. So that's what is happening in this society. The dogs, society of dogs and hogs and camels and asses. And democracy will always degenerate into anarchy and massive exploitation by the leaders. Those leaders, Bhagavatam is actually forecasting what will happen, as Prabhupada just touched that point in this purport. Doshu praishu rajaneshu. Doshu means bandits. The bandits, the robbers, will become the kings in this age. Isn't it happening already in today's world, in democracy? There is no king, but they are elected leaders. Now, who are being elected? The worst kind of cheats are going to become elected. And this condition will deteriorate gradually. I mean, we have seen, I personally have seen the development of democracy in India. Actually, India is the world's largest democracy. But what happened when India got the freedom from the British ruling? The leaders were idealistic, they were loyal, they were truthful. They had high values. And they had lofty ideals to pursue. But I saw within 50 years how it degenerated. Those days the leaders were very idealistic. They were upright people. They were patriotic. They were good people. At least relatively, they were good people. But today, what is happening? You know what is India's? Just one incident gives the understanding what the situation of Indian politics is. The Supreme Court passed a law that anyone with a criminal record will not be allowed to stand for election. The Supreme Court passed that, but in the assembly, it got dismissed. Now, assembly means the politicians, they did not support that. because this law needed to be approved by the assembly. Now, isn't it common sense? Anyone with a criminal record should not be allowed to stand in the election, right? Everybody will accept that. But look at these politicians. They did not approve of it. Why not? Because they themselves are criminals. Because if they pass the law, then they won't be able to stand in the election. That's why they didn't pass it. And what could the people do? They had to accept it. And, I mean, it's just in the name of politics, all kinds of, you know, inhuman mockery and inhuman brutality is going on in today's world. And this is how democracy will always degenerate. Look at America. Look at their early leaders, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, even up to John F. Kennedy. But after that, look at this, these political leaders in America today. Even consider, Nixon had to resign due to the Watergate scandal. But Clinton, although he was caught red-handed of adultery, he just carried on shamelessly. And people also said, okay, it's all right. What's the harm? He just had an affair with his secretary, or he just had an affair with somebody. So what's so bad? So this is how we are seeing how the standard of morality is deteriorating. And because the standard of morality is deteriorating, the leaders' qualities are also deteriorating. If the leaders don't come up to that standard, it doesn't matter because everybody else is doing it. So what's the harm? So we can see, like when Nixon had to resign due to the Watergate scandal, Prabhupada was very appreciative of him. Prabhupada said that America, Prabhupada glorified America, that it is, it's maintaining true democracy. That when the leader is caught for unfair activities, indulging in improper, inappropriate activities, he's removed. But how many years now? Say in about 30 years, what happened to Clinton? Not even 30 years, I think about 25 years. It was, I mean, compared to what Clinton did, I mean, Nixon would appear to be a saint. But Clinton carried on. And now, who knows what this present President of the United States of America is doing. So, and this is the unfortunate situation of this world. Now, how to counteract that? How to establish the proper standard of human civilization? It's only by establishing Vedic culture. And that's the responsibility every single member of International Society of Krishna Consciousness has. That's the responsibility Srila Prabhupada gave us. That's the responsibility Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. To rectify this misdirected civilization. In this civilization, everyone is suffering, and the suffering condition will increase more and more. It'll get worse and worse. Now, do we want to live in a world like that? Do we want our children and our grandchildren to live in a world which is so brutal and hellish? Now, for their sake, we have to change the society. Our life may be okay. In our life, probably, it won't be so bad. But just give this world another 20, 30, 40 years. We can't even imagine how badly the whole situation will deteriorate. Now the consideration is, are we going to think about it? Are we going to remind everybody the responsibility that they have for their future generations? So let's start act towards that. And the only solution is Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. We simply have to remain grateful to Krishna. just remain grateful to Krishna for everything that he has given us. This is a wonderful world. This morning, when I was driving to the temple, I was thinking, it's such a beautiful day. Bright sunshine. Everything seemed to be so wonderful. And this is what Krishna's mercy is. Every day comes to us with so much beauty and promise. And we should be grateful to Krishna for that. What's the harm in being grateful to Krishna for that? If every morning we tell Krishna, Krishna, thank you for giving us such a beautiful day ahead of us today. Krishna, thank you for giving us everything. We can be grateful to Krishna for everything that he has given. Not only for prasad. Krishna vara dayamai kori bare jiva jai. We should be grateful to Krishna and offer prayers. Prabhupada is pointing out, Prabhupada is reminding us that every time we drink water, we can be grateful to Krishna. Rasoham apshu konteya. Let's taste the taste of water. And this is Krishna's mercy. Every time we breathe, we can feel Krishna's mercy. And that is the meaning of being Krishna conscious. Being Krishna conscious. Being conscious of Krishna's mercy at every single moment. Krishna, you gave me such a beautiful body. Now let me use it in your service. Krishna, you gave me such a beautiful mind. Let me use it in your service. Krishna, you gave me so much intelligence. Let me use it in your service. At every moment we can be grateful to Krishna for all that he has given us. And that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. And if the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, if at least majority of the population in this world becomes Krishna consciousness, how beautiful this world will become. And this is nothing demanding too much or nothing unfair or unjust. It is natural. The person who is giving us so much, what's the harm in being grateful to him? So Krishna consciousness ultimately means to develop this gratitude towards Krishna. And then gradually this gratitude will turn into love. Love for the superior comes through the feeling of gratitude. Love for the juniors come in the form of affection. And love among the equals develop through friendship. So Krishna is superior to us, so we have to always feel grateful to him. And Krishna is superior because he is taking care of us in all respects, at all time. And then we won't have to worry about hellish planets. We'll just read through this chapter, thinking that, well, I won't have to be worried about it. It is there, but just as we don't worry about prison house. The prison house is there, but do the law-abiding citizens worry about the prison house? No. Similarly, a devotee doesn't have to be worried about the hellish planets because it won't apply to him. He is not. Even if he goes there, he'll go there for a vacation to see how that place is like. Or if he goes there at all, he'll go there to preach to the criminals, the prisoners, and make them into devotees. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.